All right, welcome everyone. We are here, we are now, and live. This is The Holistic Way with Dr. A. I'm Dr. Jean-Paul Amante, and boy, I got a good one for you today. I'll be talking about one of my favorite topics of all time, which is alchemy. We're gonna get right into the essentials of this mystical science, where it came from, and how we can all use these concepts in our daily lives to ultimately heal anything. Now, what a lot of people know about alchemy is this concept of turning metals into gold, right? And so we've heard about some of the legendary alchemists such as John Dee, the ancient Egyptians, even back to the ancient Atlanteans, you know, and many different figures like Alexander the Great. A lot of these conquerors were all after this sacred knowledge. And the concept of turning base metals into gold, yes, there are some historical tales about the actual physical chemistry of doing this, but really what it comes down to is the inner elements and being able to transmute the things that are holding you back into the most valuable part of yourself, which we can all associate as gold. And so the first thing anyone needs to understand about alchemy is the origin. As ancient Egypt was referred to as the land of Chem or Chem, right? I don't even know if I'm pronouncing that right. But alchemy is essentially the science and knowledge that came from ancient Egypt. And so a lot of it goes back to these emerald tablets. And the emerald tablets were associated with the god Thoth or Toth or Thoth. Again, tomato, tomato here. But this god was the essential messenger, and in fact is credited for not only instructing how to build the Great Pyramids in Giza, but also what they were used for. And there's a lot of debate about this, but I love this concept that the Great Pyramids were not just a monument and not just a tomb, but in fact was this gigantic, in a way, computer. And the channels that they've now discovered were basically there to run water to create this gigantic electromagnetic energy producing machine in order to not only space travel, but potentially time travel across any point in the known universe. And so, you know, back to this idea of alchemy, is really this underlying science of how we can transmute different elements of our body, different elements of the mind, in order to become our highest selves. Now, when you look at the origin of this, it really does come back to these emerald tablets of Thoth, which when translated into English, you know, who discovered this was the ancient Greeks. And so, the god Thoth became the god Hermes. As most people know in Greek mythology, Hermes was the messenger of the gods, just like Thoth was the messenger of the Egyptian gods. And even Thoth was related to the ancient Atlanteans, you know, where, you know, the tales of Atlantis and how when there were the big changes and upheavals, and a lot of this, again, comes from Plato and also from the readings of Edgar Cayce. There's a whole section from the Cayce readings on Atlantis, on Egypt, and how over tens of thousands of years, as Atlantis began to change, you had groups that went to South America and formed the Yucatan Peninsula and the Mayans. Groups went over and founded the roots of ancient Egypt, the groups that built these pyramids, and, you know, certainly other parts of the world. And even to this day, in, you know, history classes, children are taught that kind of the cradle of civilization was Mesopotamia and this area of ancient Egypt. So it makes us a little curious, you know, what they studied, what they did, because in my personal studies, from the sources I mentioned, it turns out the ancient Atlanteans were able to live for hundreds, if not thousands of years, for a very long time. So it makes you very curious. And some of the things that we've discovered, again, with these Great Pyramids of Giza, and when they discovered the inside, you know, of these chambers was almost the exact dimensions of the idea of the Ark of the Covenant, and that the capstone that's missing off the pyramid was kind of removed as, you know, the Ark of the Covenant would be put in this chamber with the capstone on top. You have this gigantic energy producing machine. and so used for all kinds of things. But pyramids aside, let's take a look now at the Emerald Tablets of Thoth. So here's the simple translation into English. The Emerald Tablets state this: "In truth, without deceit, certain and most veritable, that which is below corresponds to that which is above, and that which is above corresponds to that which is below, to accomplish the miracles of the one thing. And just as all things have come from this one thing, through the meditation of the one mind, so do all created things originate from this one thing through transformation. Its father is the sun, its mother the moon. The wind carries it in its belly, its nurse is the earth. It is the origin of all, the consecration of the universe. Its inherent strength is perfected if it's turned into earth. Separate the earth from the fire, the subtle from the gross, gently and with great ingenuity. It rises from earth to heaven and descends again to earth, thereby combining within itself the powers of both above and below. Thus you will obtain the glory of the whole universe. All obscurity will be clear to you. This is the greatest force of all powers, because it overcomes every subtle thing and penetrates every solid thing. In this way was the universe created. From this comes many wondrous applications, because this is the pattern. Therefore, I am called thrice greatest Hermes, having all three parts of the wisdom of the whole universe. Herein I have completely explained the operation of the sun." So that was the English translation from ancient Greek from ancient Egypt. Now, what's fascinating, of course, is this concept of the one thing. And so, to cut right to the chase, the one thing is consciousness. That when we talk about the transformation, we're talking about transformation of consciousness, about in the inner strength perfecting is that of the mind. And consciousness is the one thing that penetrates through all solid things and ultimately connects us all, as we've identified now, the collective unconsciousness through different works and through different authors. And so, you notice that in is this description of sun, the moon, the air, the earth, and all these essential elements and how they're used. So here you have fire, water, air, earth, and ultimately conscious, that fifth element. You also hear the concept of as above, so below. And one of the most fundamental things, especially when it comes to holistic healing, is the concept that everything that you're seeing happening in your body is also happening around you. And conversely, everything you're seeing around in your environment, you're also feeling and experiencing within the body. And so there is no separation of spirit and matter. Everything you're seeing in the physical and the earth plane is also happening in the spiritual and these other dimensions, and vice versa. Everything in the spiritual world, you're also now seeing played out in the physical earth plane. So as above, so below also means as without, so within. So everything happening outside of us is also happening within. So this concept of separation of the body and the mind falls away here. And the underlying concept is there's this one thing, there's this one mind, this oneness that inherently connects everything in the universe. So how do we transform this? Well, there are very key elements that are revealed here. And so at the end of the Emerald Tablet, he talks about thrice greatest Hermes. And the three parts have to do with body, the feelings, and the thoughts. That is, whenever you're dealing with alchemy, that is the transmutation of consciousness, right? And these elements of fire, water, air, earth, spirit, they all have to relate to the physical body, number one, to the heart, the feelings and the emotion, number two, and the mind and the thoughts, number three. And so in the Book of Thoth, there's a direct statement given. And it goes like this: Salve, coagula, bivitriol shown, the tincture, the elixir, and the stone. Now, most people that are just a little familiar with alchemy recognize that there are these concepts of the Philosopher's Stone. This was even made popular in the first Harry Potter movie, as J.K. Rowling alluded to this concept. And of course, you know, one of the ancient philosophers and alchemists is also given credit in that movie. You know, as he finds a little card relating to it, so you can go back and watch and see if you can identify who the famous alchemist is, you know, revealed there in Harry Potter. But the Philosopher's Stone is this universal substance in alchemy that can transform these base metals into gold. This concept of the elixir of life and the tincture of immortality, that is, there is this inherent substance that we can all derive and create that potentially can live for a long time. And so one of the former podcasts we did was How to Live Forever. Well, one of the paths to immortality, apparently, is through alchemy. Now, what does it mean, this phrase? The tincture, the elixir, and the stone can be achieved by salve coagula. Well, that's a simple Latin translation. Salve literally means to break apart, and coagula means to literally coagulate and put back together. So one of the fundamental concepts, again, as above, so below, but also continuously dividing and breaking things down and then recombining them. And then everything in your life, whether it's your health, whether it's challenges that you're dealing with, that the fundamental concept of alchemy is to break it down in its components and look at each of these components and then reassemble the pieces that actually matter to you and do that over and over and over again. And one of the fundamental things in chemistry, you know, is to dissolve and break things apart and then recombine the pieces back together. So you're constantly, it's like making a mosaic tile pattern of your life, but always this continual process of doing so. And how you do that is by using the seven steps of alchemy. So I'm going to reveal those steps to you in this podcast right now. Now, the word vitriol, if you notice in that quote from the Book of Thoth, has seven letters, right? V-I-T-R-I-O-L. And so if you see the word vitriol, it actually is an anagram that comes back to ancient Latin. So vitriol actually translates to visita, or if you correctly pronounce it in Latin, visita interiora terra rectificando invenias occultum lapidem. And it translates to this. Vitriol literally means, in translation, to start a journey to the innermost part of the earth. And through setting things right, you will discover the secret hidden stone. So the philosopher's stone is hidden within the earth. And where is the earth within us all? It's your body. And so this concept that as we go within ourselves and through setting things right, you will discover the philosopher's stone that exists within all of us. And of course, vitriol itself has seven letters. And if you go back into the Emerald Tablet that we just translated, it gave you the seven steps, right? It talked about its father first being the sun, and then going into its mother is the moon. And as we know, the moon pulls the tides and the oceans around. So there's the water element, step number two. Then it goes into the wind, and the air is carried in its belly. There's step number three. Its nurses the earth is step number four. And then it describes the step number five of separating the earth from the fire and then recombining it back together. And then by doing this in repetition and the final coagulation gives you step number six and seven. So here they are, the seven steps of alchemy. Number one is calcination. Calcination is the element of fire. It's the element of burning things away. And so this has to do with the thoughts. And so step number one in alchemy is by using the fire element to burn away these mental constructs. And this has to do with your ego, folks. The first thing you need to do is burn down your ego and look at all these mental constructs that we so, you know, firmly believe in, we think is the truth, but in fact, it kind of distracts us through things. And so in alchemy, this would be meditation, dissolving the ego. You can light a candle. You can certainly light a fire. Please do so safely. And so you will often see candles, prayer candles, you know, using fires in different ceremonies and rituals, being the cornerstone of this fire element, you know, and certainly, you know, spending time out in the sun, as many cultures would worship the sun god. And this would be things like surrendering your materiality through spiritual disciplines. And each of these steps actually is associated with a different sacred metal as well as a planet. And so if you've ever wondered why there are 7 days of the week, this again directly relates back to these 7 steps of alchemy having to do with 7 metals. There are 7 chakras in the human body. There are 7 colors, right? Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, violet. There's 7 notes in your major scale, right? The notes of A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. Then it starts back again. The 8th is your octave. So you're going to see the number 7 all around you in your reality. And so you begin to understand and recognize, as I did, that alchemy is happening all around you. And so this first step of calcination has to do with the metal lead and the planet Saturn. But step number 1 is using the fire element. Now, step number 2 is dissolution or dissolving. And this is the water element. This is having to do with your feelings. So step number 1 more or less has to do with your thoughts and burning away the mental thoughts and constructs of your ego. Step number 2 has to do with pulling up unconscious feelings. And you see this so many times in the healing process where people are emotionally triggered by things that are going on. And pulling up these emotions is telling you directly those base metals, those base things that are holding you back. And that transmuting this into the higher elements is where you're going to discover your inner true power. And so the second step, called dissolution, has to do with using the water element to bring up these feelings. So how do you do this? Well, it's very simple. You can look at your dreams. You can look at things that are triggering your emotions right now, either people, scenarios. What are you afraid of? You know, things that trigger you in anger, because I can promise you, fear and anger are those things that are holding you back. And so as you learn to work with this, conquer your fears, and relate to these emotions, not only through dreams, but this can also be through visions. This is working with your heart and what Freud and Carl Jung refer to as the id, right? This deeper unconsciousness where all these emotions, all these things are hidden. So step number 1, we release the ego. Step number 2, we go deep within ourselves to bring up these unconscious feelings that oftentimes have to do with past traumas, and past experiences. And these things from our past, if you're living in your past, you're not being fully present, and they tend to distort. It's like wearing these glasses and you're not seeing things for what they truly are. And as you work through these feelings and as you work through these distortions, you can start to see your true nature. The second step of alchemy relates to the metal tin and the planet Jupiter, for what that's worth. And so the simplest things you can do is by using the water element. So this would be cleansing, right? And so you can literally find a good, fresh, clean source of water. Number 1, drink and clean the body every day. So if you take your body weight, divide it in half, just drink half of your body weight in ounces every single day. And now we're discovering the power of water through things like you know, the book by Masaru Emoto on how water can actually reflect and program the emotions. And so they did research on, you know, holding a simple vial of water with different feelings, different emotions, and then freezing it, taking a picture, and the structure of the water actually changed. It's called Messages from Water is the book. And so by using the water element, it's going to reflect back to your nature. And if you've ever seen a calm, perfectly still lake, what is it? It's a perfect mirror, right? Reflecting what's above as below. The same thing, if you look at water when it's perfectly clean, pure, and still, you can see all the way to the bottom. And folks, your emotions are the same thing. You know, when we're in the turbulent emotional time, you're not going to see this reflection, and you're certainly not going to see what's underneath. And so working with our emotional self and finding stillness and releasing those emotion patterns to find that peacefulness, now you're going to be able to see that reflection of your divine nature above, and you're going to see, be able to have that clear, that clarity of all the way down to the depths of yourself. And so working with those emotions, working with your dreams, working with visions, not only drinking plenty of fresh water, but we can also use this externally, right? So doing things like baths, doing things like cleansing. You know, your body is mostly what? Water. It's the most abundant compound. It's the universal solvent, according to the alchemists. And so things like sweat baths, steams, and saunas can combine the element of fire and water. If you don't believe me, sweat it out, and you'll quickly discover you are full of water. And it's very cleansing, very healthy for your body. Now, step number three is the element of separation, right? The step of separation is the element of air. Now, the element of air and separation gets into this concept of dividing, and the next step is rejoining. So the element of air and this concept of separation, now that you've worked with step number one in your thoughts and the ego, step number two, you've working now with your emotions. Now it's time to begin to separate. Separate who you are and the things that you need to let go of, either from your past, feelings and emotions that are distorting and need to be released, thought patterns that you need to let go of. And usually these things have been kind of inflicted on us by our, you know, by other people. And you need to let all that stuff go. And that's in this step in separation. So the element of air in this step is associated with the metal iron and the planet of Mars. And this has to do with separating the components of those first two steps to essentially rediscover who you are. And so a simple example of this is if you've ever picked up a handful of sand, you know, what's the quickest way to separate all those grains of sand? Or, you know, if let's say you have a bunch of dust on your tabletop and you want to separate and clean it off, what's the quickest way to do that? Take a big breath in and go, and immediately you'll see all those grains of sand immediately separate in all directions perfectly. It's the most efficient way is to use this element of air. So you can use the simple method of deep breathing and breath work and breathing exercises. There's certainly elements of air where you're outside in air, taking air or wind baths. And even, I mean, think about just how calming it can be, just rolling down your window and just getting that fresh breeze over the body can be very calming and very soothing. And so there's ways you can use the element of air physically, but more importantly, using it mentally and emotionally is, again, this concept of separating out who you are. And who you are is not your thoughts. Folks, you are not your mind. You are the one who's observing them. You're also not your emotions and your feelings. You are the one who's experiencing them. And so one of my favorite ways to meditate is by using breath work and just controlling the breath. There's a lot of different techniques out there, like the Wim Hof method, like box breathing. And I have a video on this. So using, you know, breath control, you know, off the channel that you can find on YouTube, you know, gives you just some basic techniques of breath work. And this can help you to find calmness and stillness as you meditate. And in your meditation, begin to identify who you truly are. What do you love? Find your purpose and what you are here to do, and release and separate from all the opinions of others, past, present, and even future. And now by separating all those pieces, now let's get into the fourth step, which is called conjunction. Right? So in review, step number one is calcination, the element of fire. Step number two is the step of dissolution, the element of water. Step three was separation, the element of air. Now here we are, step number four in conjunction, which is the element of earth. And now we're going to combine, after we separate out step number three, we're now going to recombine those different elements and kind of recreate. Again, divide and then rejoin. And this step is where we put those pieces back together and literally conjoin them. And the element of earth, right, is very solid. And we kind of take for granted that the earth is solid because really, as it turns out, that the earth that we think is so solid and stable is just a very, very, very thin layer upon a liquid magma surface. And if you look down below, for example, like earthquakes and the shifting of the poles, it's kind of anything but solid. But either way, this element of earth, when we recombine these different pieces back together, this now unifies ourself and recreates a harmonious whole person, a harmonious whole self. And one of the simplest ways that you can do this is just through grounding and spending time in the time with the earth. So kick off your shoes, spend some time every day just connecting to the earth. There's a lot of evidence now on the importance of grounding. And even just sitting on the ground, laying on the ground. One thing that people often find, you know, is very grounding for them is just eating food, right? And so the element of earth has to do with taking in those elements of earth. So eating live things like fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, those kind of things is a way we can use this this concept of the earth element. And so in the ancient Egyptians, this was a very important stage that they called the intelligence of the heart. That is, when you separate, you know, who you are from other people and just focus on your path and put those pieces back together, this stage was this increase in insight and empowerment of the true self. And if you've ever experienced that, when you've really come back to who you are, regrounded yourself, and you kind of get this kind of renewed inspiration. You're kind of like, yes, this is my purpose. This is what I'm here to do. And this was a very important stage in ancient Egyptian alchemy. And they called that a rebirth of the intelligence of the heart. And this element of conjunction is associated with the metal gold and the sun, which obviously isn't a planet, but the star. But that was the association here. And again, seven steps of alchemy, seven planets, and obviously the sun there included, relates to the 7 days of the week. And this is why Sunday is often related to, kind of a holy day in a lot of modern spiritual practices. This is when a lot of Christians go to church, etc. And you can see the importance of this stage because this is what the element of gold was associated with this step, step number four of conjunction. Now, this takes us right to step number five. So now that you have this harmonious whole self, the next step in alchemy, step number five, is time to let it rot. That's right. So this step is called fermentation. So fermentation has to do with putrefaction, which is literally composting. This is the secondary fire, or in alchemy, this is referred to as the heavenly fire. That begins with this process of a death below leading to rebirth above. And so a symbol related to this step was that of the phoenix. And again, here we are, the elements that you'll see in, you know, children's tales and, you know, popular things such as Harry Potter, you know, the phoenix, you know, saves him a couple times. But in the mystical experience, this was relating to this concept of, you know, the death of your true self leading to a rebirth of the spiritual self. And if you don't believe that this has to do with the element of fire, anyone who's had a compost bin, go over to that compost bin when it's really churning and doing its thing. Put your hand above it and you're going to feel a very real heat, folks, because that process of rotting and putrefaction produces a heat. And now there are actually scientists that are working to develop harnessing this heat and this thermodynamic energy as a source of free energy. And anybody who's ever done some gardening, you know that the process of composting and that kind of rotting and that death of the old produces what? essential nutrients that, if properly balanced and given back to the garden, creates the new elements and new growth. And that process, according to alchemy, needs to happen every day. This constant cycle of when you think you've arrived, it's time to let that old self go, kind of let it rot, and taking those elements to feed the new self and to feed the new cycle to create this rebirth. And this is often described as having a mystical experience or this religious awakening. This happens in near-death experiences, often associated with this. So people who have literally clinically died and then come back to life is a very, you know, very intense version of this, but they will often come back with a completely different perspective on life, right? This is also related to when people have these psychic visions or a paranormal encounter. You know, when people have this experience, they describe seeing all these other colored of lights, these elements of colors and lights that are kind of otherworldly. And this is this experience of this step. And again, there's this concept that, you know, you never die and there's nothing to ever fear and worry about death, because a lot of the things that tend to hold us back again are these emotions of fear and anger. And probably one of the most common things that people are afraid of is death. But alchemy, when you learn and practice these concepts, there's absolutely nothing to fear. It's just energy that just transforms from one form to another. And so this fifth step of fermentation is associated with the metal copper and the planet of Venus. And this will take you right into the sixth step. And so we went from this kind of secondary fire element to the sixth step of alchemy, which is distillation. And so this is the part in the Emerald Tablet when it says it rises from earth to heaven, right? And so the concept of distillation is actually the combination of the element of water and air. So if you've ever boiled something, like you're making pasta or cooking, and you're adding heat and, you know, more heat into it, and you start to see that steam rise, that separation of water element into the element of air, that gives you kind of a visualization of what this process is talking about. So it has to do with kind of boiling, and then the last step is condensing and coagulation. But this step is a repeated purification. And the idea is you're trying to repeatedly purify yourself to raise your psyche, to raise your mind and emotions from the body up to the highest spiritual level possible, free from all emotions, free from the things that are holding you back. And so many times people will do fasting, they'll do cleanses along with meditation, along with these concepts of purifying the body, again, you know, donating their material things to kind of get rid of them, you know, things that are literally holding you back that you honestly don't need. And by doing this over and over again, this concept is the distillation. We're distilling ourselves down to the essential aspects of ourselves, and getting rid of that which we don't need allows us to kind of raise our frequencies and raise our vibrations to this higher spiritual level. So interestingly enough, this step is associated with both the metal and the planet Mercury. And if you think about the, you know, Mercury metal itself, it's this liquid form, right? And Mercury will take the form of whatever shape or whatever vessel it's in. And the same concept here, that your mind and even the future is very liquid. And as you kind of repeatedly purify yourself, focusing on what you're here to do, what your intention is, not only for your health and your physical body, but also your career goals, your relationship, and where your growth is in this journey that we call life. So be very clear about that. And as you start to really connect within yourself, you will get indications of those things you need to let go of those things that need to be purified and cleansed. Both, remember, it's physical, it's mental, and it's emotional. And that's that three parts of the wisdom is related to Thoth and, of course, Hermes, which is the fundamental, you could say the foundation for this concept of alchemy. Now, the seventh and final step here is coagulation. And so in the Emerald Tablet, when it describes the one thing, this philosopher's stone, you know, that it now descends again back to earth. So again, this concept of separate the fire from the earth is the concept of separate your spiritual self from your physical self, right? Raise it to the highest possible vibration and then bring it back down into your body. And then the seventh step is when the Emerald Tablet says it descends again to earth, thereby combining within itself both above and below. So the seventh step of coagulation is the element of air coming back into earth. And this represents the unification or the reunification of spirit back into physical matter. And so this is the realization that you are a spiritual being in a physical body, and that the philosopher's stone, I mean, in legend and lore, it could have been an actual physical stone, but what it is, and here's the secret of alchemy, folks, it's consciousness. That the philosopher's stone is actually a mobile state of consciousness. And the true alchemists, when they arrived in this state of consciousness, they knew that whatever challenge they were going through, right, whatever they needed, whether it was knowledge or insight or guidance, if they were able to arrive in this state of consciousness, they would have the answer and the solution. That is, when the spirit, the mind, emotions, and the body are all in perfect harmony, in perfect frequency, you'll know exactly what to do, exactly where to go. So if you've ever had that experience of maybe a problem or a challenge and you weren't sure what to do, maybe, you know, you're worried about this, you're afraid of this, you know, maybe you're angry that this happened. No, have you ever had that experience where when you're able to calm down or maybe sleep on it, right? And then maybe you had a dream or maybe, you know, you woke up with like, oh my goodness, I should try this, or this idea comes to you, check this, or maybe I should ask this person for help. That's the philosopher's stone, and that's what the alchemists were trying to constantly work with and attain. And could you imagine as if you had that ability all the time, that you always had this tapped in awareness to where you could tap into the collective unconsciousness? And just like Edgar Cayce was able to do in his readings, you know, whatever question was posed, whatever the person needed, he could tap in not only to the person, but to this collective mind and give the answer and find at least what could be done in the present moment in this step that would help get the person a little bit further in the direction to actually solve the problem. Now, the idea of coagulation, again, is this unification of spirit with matter, and it's the realization of this mobile state of consciousness that was referred to as the philosopher's stone. This seventh step was referred to, you know, it's associated with the metal silver and the moon. And then thereby you kind of realize that, you know, the 7 days of the week are related to the seven steps of alchemy. And there you have Sunday is the sun, Monday or moon day is the moon, Tuesday is related to Mars, Wednesday is Mercury, Thursday is Jupiter, Friday is Venus, and of course Saturday or Saturn's day was related to Saturn. And each of these 7 days of the week was focused on a different aspect of the step of alchemy. And every single day practicing these different things of using fire, water, air, earth, and spirit, and by constantly checking your ego, every day check in and work with your thoughts, your emotions, every day work with your physical body. And the combination of these things, when you can harmonize them, will help you to accomplish whatever it is that you desire. And so, step number one, you have to set an intention. Right? And so we did a video on this called The Purposes of Life, and the four cornerstones, the four purposes, have to do with your physical body, one, with your career path and developing your mind and your finances, number two, Number three, developing your relationships and your emotions and feelings, and has to do with not only yourself, but other people around you. And certainly number four is finding your creative expression, finding your spiritual purpose, finding your soul's purpose. And so in the ancient Latin, stemming from Greek, stemming from ancient Egypt, perhaps even stemming from ancient Atlantis, you have this knowledge now that's been passed down for tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of years that you can apply right here, right now, today. So begin right where you are and start a journey to the innermost part of yourself and set things right. Identify those habits and things that are holding you back. Identifying those relationships or maybe the things that need to change in your life. That's what we need to all set right. And by doing this every day, continuously, and recognize it's a cycle. As soon as you think you've arrived, nope. That's simply the sign that it's time to take a step back, let things kind of ferment for a little bit, and then begin again. And this continuous cycle, because the truth is it never ends. We're in this infinite state of consciousness that only transforms from one to another. And the growth always is continually happening. So constantly working with yourself physically, mentally, and emotionally, by setting things right in all these different aspects, yes, you will discover the hidden stone. You will discover the tincture of immortality. You will discover the elixir of life. And perhaps then, and by overcoming these things, when it's time to transition, when it's time to prepare for that ultimate transition that people call death, you'll realize there's nothing to be afraid of. And by attaining this conscious state, by activating that consciousness, when it's time to transform, when it's time to transmute to the next chapter, you will be ready. You will not be afraid. You will have the courage. You will have the knowledge. You will transition as you desire, as did the ancients. And so by working with mind, body, and spirit, by recognizing that these patterns are all around you, that's how you count the days of your week. That's how you see the colors of light, the notes of sound and harmony, and you see it within nature all around, constantly growing, constantly dying, and from that death, new growth happens, rebirth constantly around us in these cyclic natures of the seasons. And so embrace the change, embrace who you truly are as you discover your own purpose and using these steps and these natural elements, perhaps then we could become our greatest selves. So thank you so much for listening. I wish you all the best in applying alchemy to your life and to your health. So may the health be with you. And that's going to wrap it up for today. So please check out my other podcast episodes. You can check out the other videos and things that we have on hhcare.org. That's hhcare.org. You can find holistic natural health articles, research, and evidence-based things. If you want to come in for a tune-up, you can certainly do that. Come on into Virginia Beach. You can schedule a session right there off the website. If you don't live in Virginia Beach, you can just simply schedule a phone consult if you have any questions about physical, mental, and maybe even emotional things. But my background is as a chiropractor, massage therapist, and hypnotherapist. So you can find me on social media at Holistic Natural Care, and the YouTube channel is Holistic Healthcare. Thank you very much. We are through for the present.